Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Today we're joined by Adam White, who is the CEO and co-founder of Front Office Sports. How's everything going with you?
Not too bad. It's too cold here in New York right now. I think I woke up and it was like 40 degrees or something like that, 48 degrees. It's not ideal, but you know, I guess spring is on its way in a few months. We're already looking forward to it, but not. So all good. Everything is good. Just trying to finish the fourth quarter and obviously look ahead to 22 with a lot of stuff going on. So yeah, all good though. Appreciate you having me on. Excited to chat.
Yeah, of course. So actually diving into that, I follow Front Office Sports pretty closely, and I've been a reader. I subscribe to the newsletters, all that type of stuff. And I saw that you guys have made a few new moves or announcements lately with like the NIL newsletter, the like insights newsletter too, like the kind of college student type of insights letter is what I kind of grasped from it. And then I also saw you guys are teaming up with Paramount Plus. And I was wondering if you could kind of dive into like some of those creations, but also how you're strategic with each move and what you guys kind of add to the arsenal.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this year, we added a lot, right? So it was Front Office Sports, and then we added Sports Section, which is a general sports newsletter. And then we added the Association, which was an NBA newsletter. Now we had the Rundown, which was a sports betting newsletter. We learned that the Rundown Association were good. And he had a really niche audience, but wasn't good enough for us to monetize the scale. So we sunset those. Now we have Front Office Sports and Sports Section. And obviously the parent company is FOS. So it's FOS, and Front Office Sports is a brand of FOS, and Sports Section is a brand of FOS. So it's not like Meta, like Facebook or something like that, right? Like it's just FOS, and Front Office Sports bubbles up into that, Sports Section bubbles up into that. So we repositioned the brand around that, because we, you know, the whole idea is we're kind of positioning ourselves like this smarter sports news network, right? We have the business of sports, and we have Sports Section, which is, you know, it's a daily sports newsletter, but it's really based on, you know, statistical and betting and analytics and stuff like that. It's a little bit deeper, you know, 538-esque, but for sports. And going back to college and insights and Paramount Plus is just one of our advertising partners. So they appear across our network of newsletters. And the whole idea is we're selling it across this network of Front Office Sports, AM, PM, Sunday, college, and Sports Section. That's kind of like our arsenal. And you know, Insights is a paid membership platform. Obviously there's a lot more to than just the newsletter. From a college standpoint, you know, we partnered with public.com to open it up for free to college students, because you guys know, like, you hate paying for shit as college students. So did I. So I'm just like, hey, can we get a brand to underwrite this and do that? And so they were, you know, gracious enough to come on board on the idea, and it's been really good. And we're going to continue to grow that as we go into next year. Insights at large is a big 2022 project for us, right? A paid membership product that allows us to basically monetize our insights and literally insights, right? It's Front Office Sports insights, and just taking a level deeper. So the way we position it's everything you like about Front Office Sports, but a level deeper. I don't want to paywall off any like daily news content or anything like that. I want to take it to where people are paying for something completely separate. They love us so much, they want to get us, you know, in a different level, and it allows them to take the next step. It allows them to be better, things like that. So that's the delineation there. And then with college, I mean, college sports and the business of college sports is almost 1A and 1B with the business of general sports, right? We're talking about that. And so Front Office Sports College is three times a week. We had a sponsor come on and buy out the whole year, basically. And we said, look, like, we have an opportunity to make this like really niche and really exciting and interesting, and put it into a space where, again, like, there's people who are covering it, but we just in different ways. Like, there's daily newsletters for the you know, the business of college sports, but super like endemic. And not like broader. And I think our opportunity is much broader, but we'll see how it shakes out. So those are how those are all interplay and work together. But yeah, the way we're positioning it in market is FOS. We're kind of like the smarter sports news network. And we're saying that because obviously we're newsletter first, and we're the only sports publisher that's newsletter first. But we, you know, have an owned and operated channels. We have operated sites. We have social channels. Like, we're the number one sports publisher on LinkedIn and everything like that, which is a massive platform for us. But, you know, our whole identity and ideals, newsletter first and foremost. But, you know, again, we're kind of more than just that. But obviously our biggest value prop is that we're, you know, newsletter first and foremost.
Yeah. So when you're growing these different pieces of your business, when do you know it's kind of time to expand to a new venture? Like, when is it certain stages of growth? Is it economic growth? What's kind of the strategic thinking behind, you know, adding an insights or adding an NIL newsletter or those type of additions?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, It just depends. I think there's a few different elements in which we could do it. One is, can you do it lean, right? So Insights, mm-hmm. we launched with one person who was already writing the Sunday newsletter, who we got partners for, who basically underwrote that. So like realistically, human capital wise, it doesn't cost us any additional headcount or anything like that. And so you have to start lean and have to prove it out. And it's the biggest thing, like as much as you can put strategy into everything and build out business plans and stuff like that, like you have to just start it and see what it does, right? We launched the association, we launched the rundown, we launched Sports Section. One of those three hit and it was Sports Section. So we moved the people who were writing the other two to Sports Section. And now we have a team on Sports Section, like we have a team on Front Office Sports, right? So it's an interesting kind of dichotomy, but like it's a little bit of art and a little bit of science. Obviously, I think we knew that subscription was going to be something that we wanted to have, or a membership product that we wanted to have. We knew that we needed to start to plant a flag in the second half of this year, even if it's a small flag and we get some subscribers, but we get people engaged and paying and excited by the product and they're talking to people and things like that. And then we have some proof of concept. And then if we're in market talking to, or whether it's investors or anything like that, now we have proof of concept. Okay, we can launch a paid product. We have like the very beta version of this paid product, and then we can take it from there. And so, you know, I think that's the biggest thing is like, okay, you know, when we first started Front Office Sports, it was never supposed to be what it is today. And we just kind of learned and evolved and everything like that. Even just when I'm talking about Insights, it's changed so much, and we've only had it a month, really. Like we launched it a month ago. And since then, you know, we've rolled out a weekly touch point through the newsletter. We're thinking about content promotion. We just had our first kind of, you know, Insights preview event type thing that we were able to go to market with, and had 400 people sign up. And now that's 400 people we can remarket and try and upsell the Insights program and say, hey, like this is what you get as part of that. So, I mean, it's a hand-to-hand combat type thing, but you know, you just got to start. We launched Rising 25 4 years ago, which is like our Forbes 30 under 30, or 5 years ago now, almost 6 years. I think we're going into our sixth year. First year we had 90 applications or 90 nominations, and we had 25 winners. We have people who thought the award was fake. Like, yeah, now
so I wanted
we
to
have
ask
500 nominations per year, and it's one of the award that everyone in the space wants to win. But it's just like, that's 5 years later, right? The business is 7 years old. It took us 6 years to make our first $1 million, right? Like, you know, and so it's just like those types of things where media specifically, it's just consistency day after day after day after day after day. And you have to test things, you have to try things. And with Insights, we knew because we took a survey in Q3 and we surveyed 1,000 people. Of those 1,000, 87% of those 1,000 said they were interested in some sort of paid product. And then we asked them, what kind of paid product? It's research, it's extra content, it's access, it's this, like that. So it's like, we knew going into it that there is an appetite for this. Now we have it set up. Now we have the foundation in place. Now it's all about hiring the right team to build that out and make that a seven figure product, right? Or, you know, sustainability is massive right now in sports. We're launching a sustainability award next year, right? Because we have Rising 25, we have best employers. What's the next thing? And we've now proven at least that we can launch these different, you know, awards, franchises, and we can monetize them and everything like that. Now the next one is like, how do we figure this out, right? So, yeah.
So with like Rising 25, that was something I wanted to really ask you about. How did you build that up where it became a respected, you know, label amongst an award amongst people in the sports business industry? Because obviously you can be a startup and you can, you know, create these awards and people will just be like, okay, it's just a title or whatever. How were you able to build it up where, you know, I've seen it on people's LinkedIns, on their Twitters, like if they've won it, they really like to show that they were selected for that. So how did it become a respectable award within the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a stat that's something like people who win it, of the people who win it, I think it's like 65 or 70% of the people who win it are promoted or get a new job within the year after they win the award, right? Like everyone's looking for great talent. It's an easy way for you to completely differentiate yourself at 25 and below. And that's the other thing too, is we said, okay, we're going to go 25, say this is going to be the dam. And everyone who's, you know, not everyone, but like most people who are excelling in this space who are 25 and below are going to come through us. They're going to win the award and then they're going to be lifetime supporters of the business. So in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, they're going to be the people who are presidents, CMOs, this, that, and the other. And they won Rising 25 and have been through that program with us. But I think the first years, it was great because no one else was doing it, right? So we had a completely open space, and we still do. Like no one touches less than 25. Like it's our space to own and everything like that. But it's also because the brand is reputable. Like, people take the brand seriously. Like, and that's the biggest thing is, like, I always tell people, we have a Best Employers in Sports award. And I always say, we cannot say, we, I mean, not that we're on or not that we're saying it because, like, it's a survey driven thing, but we can't actively have something that we're not like living ourselves, right? Like, we can't win the award, but I want to make sure that as much as we can, like, we would win the award if we could, right? Because we have great perks, we have great benefits, we have, you know, good work from home stipends. It's a startup, so the work-life balance isn't always great, but, like, that's kind of what comes with the territory. But, you know, continuing to strive to make sure, like, all of those things are really, really great. Because, again, like, Rising 25, we can't say something is innovative if we're not innovative ourselves, right? Like, all these things. We can't say these people are the best if we're not, you know, if we're not the best, right? And I think that's the big thing too, is, like, we have this kind of internal saying. It's like, we don't set the bar, we raise it. And that's the truth with everything we do, even internally. Like, why we launch Rising 25, how do we make it even better next year? How do we make it even better the year after that? How do we continue to raise the bar? Because I think if you just set the bar and you just say, okay, this is what we're going to continue to do, well, then it becomes lackadaisical and boring, and you're not really pushing the envelope and you're not taking risks and things like that, to where it's like, you know, again, we went out and said, okay, we know what all the subscription products are in this space. None of them are coming from a true business first approach, and let's go find someone who can do it. And the person that we hired to run Insights to start is a former Goldman Sachs banker. But, like, that provides us a perspective and an insight and an analysis that no one else has, and it allows us to really, again, provide something that, honestly, sometimes you just have to, you have to create something and almost force people into, like, doing, like, Insights might be a little bit ahead of time, but, like, what's going to happen is people are going to see it and get part of it. And, like, all of a sudden they're reading about athleisure and this and that. Like, that's the other thing too, is, like, you almost have to take the industry with you. Right? It's like, you know, Wayne Gretzky is always like, don't skate where the puck is, skate where the puck's going. It's the same thing, right? Like, we have to be telling the industry where the industry is going, or we have to be telling people in and around the space where the business of sports is going, or, you know, general sports, and covering these spaces. That's like, it's here while everyone's here, right? And it's just much easier to play here. And, like, that's why we have Rising 25, and that's why it's amazing. Best Employers in Sports. No one else has an award for that. We do, and we always have. And, like, we always will, and we'll always be the first one in that space. And, like, again, we carved out a spot where it's like, you know, we don't need a 40 under 40 or a 30 under 30. No, we want Rising 25. We don't need this. We have Best Employers. We, you know, we can do a sustainability award. That's amazing. That's great. Like, that's an awesome thing. But this all comes back to the fact that the brand is strong. We have great social channels. We have great content. We have exclusive content. We're breaking news. People take us seriously, right? Like, and, like, that, honestly, that's, like, some of the biggest, you know, news publishers to this day, like Forbes. Forbes's brand is strong. Maybe their content might not be as good as it used to be or whatever it is, but, like, people want to win Forbes 30 under 30 because of what Forbes stands for, yeah. Right? Like, it's like, that's what it's all about. It's all about brand, as crazy as it is. And so you have to be very ruthless about it. You have to be very, like, I mean, our standards are incredibly high because it's like, we just can't let up. Like, we can't become complacent in the fact that people every single day, and I always tell people, like, Mark Cuban reads us 98% of the time, twice a day. Every single day he opens our newsletter twice a day, 98% of the time. I think he's missed one or two of them in the last 4 or 5 years. There's a reason for that. The content's good and he likes it, but also we have to remember, like, he's reading it. If content's bad or we fall off or we don't get better, he's going to fall off, right? And, like, that's someone that you don't want to lose. That's someone you want to keep reading and engaging and being interested in the product because it's meaningful, right? And it's meaningful for advertisers, meaningful for our perspective and market. And so, again, like, that's the stuff you have to think about, is it's mostly brand, honestly, yeah, for a lot of this stuff.
It's interesting you say that, because Jack and I started this podcast a little over a year and a half ago. And those are kind of the two things we really kind of focus on, are consistency and creating good content that evolves, not the same stagnant content over and over again. And also having a strong brand and building that up. And we've been able to partner with a lot of local businesses here and stuff like that. And one thing I wanted to ask you about is, from an advertiser standpoint, when you start Front Office Sports, did you start teaming up with businesses first as paid sponsors? Were they brand partners? How did you kind of grow your business out?
I always
could evolve.
I always joke with people. I say the hardest thing to start, if you want to start anything, is a media company, and start it with no money, no experience, and no audience, right? Because, like, as you guys know, you have to build the audience before you can even monetize anything. And so if you don't have money to hire people who have built-in audiences who can provide you with audience, it's like, it's again, like a 7-year. I've been working on this every single day. And Russ, my number two, who co-founded the business with me at Miami, every single day for the last 6-7 years, we've been working on this business. And now it's just starting to get to the point of kind of like, not like no return, but the point of true, like, you know, executional scale because of the fact that we've been doing it. But yeah, I mean, honestly, our first check was $2,500 from the University of Nebraska Lincoln to promote their master's program. I can probably pull up what the ad looked like. It was terrible. It was horrible, but it worked, right? And like, they believed in us, and then we could go sell it to another college. And we can go to sell it. And that's the other thing too. As long as you get one, then once you have one, it's a lot easier, right? Pepsi is a partner of ours. Realistically, like, we could go to Coke and be like, well, Pepsi's partnering with us, right? Or DraftKings is a partner of ours. We could realistically go to FanDuel and be like, well, DraftKings is a partner of ours, right? And so that's the thing is like, you just have to continue to get one. As everyone talks about, like, you know, it's day one, it's, you know, we're one or zero and zero, right? Like, and the thing is like, once you get one, then you can hopefully get another, but you have to deliver on the one that you're doing, mm-hmm. right? So it just takes time. But like, obviously the Anheuser-Busch deal with Rising 25, they became the presenting partner of Rising 25. Early on, year three, like right before we got the investment and moved to New York. And like, we were able to, I think, execute that in a way that kept them coming back. But like, that validated us like so much, right? Like, that validated us so much in the space where it was like, holy shit, like these guys, if Anheuser-Busch is working with these guys and Anheuser-Busch works with, you know, most of the big sports teams, like, obviously there is something here. There is 100% something here, right? And so that to me is like, is the big approach there, is that you just have to get one and have one person believe in you and then go from, I mean, you know, as you guys know, sales is mostly relationships. Obviously, after you continue to deliver and things like that, but like, sales is predominantly relationships and how you go about it. And so it's all about building those relationships and being able to provide value. And then again, most of the time, a lot of these things have come from just building relationships over a year, right? Like, for example, our Coinbase partnership that we're launching in January, we're building an entire course with them, and it's a product that's taken off with us. For us, it's like really blown up in a way that it's like, I think we're in a space where the course is, but in the Coinbase example, I knew the woman who is now at Coinbase, Jess, for like multiple years. She was at Visa for a long time. We could never get something to work, but we stayed in touch every once in a while, checked in, everything like that. She just happens to move to Coinbase. I just happen to know Coinbase's agency. And next thing you know, 2 weeks later, we have, you know, a course that we put together and, you know, is going to be a massive thing for us. So there's a short-term play, a long-term play. You just got to stay on top of people and not in a bad way, but I always say it's like soft touch points. The more soft touch points you can put together, it leads to more hard touch points, right? So if you see someone in the news, send them a note. If you see something, comment on it. If they get a big win, send, hey, like, this is awesome, congrats. I'm telling you, just like staying top of mind, super soft touch points with no asks will allow you to have the opportunity to, when there is a meaningful time to ask, when you're going to provide value that you can ask, and it's not just going to be super cold, or it's not going to be seen as like, oh, they just need money from me. No, right? So yeah.
With brand engagement and building a brand, how did you and your co-founder and your team build up Front Office Sports on socials, or, you know, through newsletters and stuff, where you seek high engagement? Like, you got the engagement you were striving for. Was it through, you know, athletes and people in sports business, you know, cross promoting you? Was it through, you know, advertisers? Like, what was the main way you guys were able to see growth and engagement and really see that people absorbed your content and it wasn't just clicks?
Yeah, I mean, early on, all I did was informational interviews, and I leveraged the fact that people had audience to build our audience. Right? I couldn't have money to hire reporters, so I just did things like this, interviewed people, published it, had them share it. That was it. That was all it was. And like, what we did is we started to slowly build audience. And then when we were on social, we would respond to everyone. We would engage in communities. We would talk to people. We would go back and forth. We would post stuff that was relevant. Like, again, we were using social in a way that no one else was using social, which was important for us. And again, we just continued to lean into it heavy, heavy, heavy. I always tell people, in the early days of FOS, we responded to every single email. We still do, because that's meaningful to people. As long as you respond to emails and you build relationships, even if it's like a PR person, and I don't do any more editorial anymore, but like, PR people is reaching out and we're saying, hey, like, hey, it's not a good fit, but you know, this is what might be a good fit or whatever. It's just continuing to keep the relationship alive and going. And it's not to where, you know, people like you're too big time for them or you're cold or this or that, right? Like, we know exactly where our lane is. We know exactly how we cover the space. We know exactly what we want to focus on. And, you know, if people come into that space with something that's like, yeah, great, we'll cover it. If they don't have it, then we'll tell them, hey, look, this is what we cover now. And so it was just, I mean, it's all grassroots legwork. All it is, it's sending people stuff. It's, hey, saw this tweet, you might like it, and having them share it because they liked it. And they're like, hey, appreciate you sharing this, right? So it's just staying on top of everything, you know? I mean, and just being like, you know, relentless for the most part, right? Like, you look back and you think, I don't know. It's just like trade-offs. I was on another podcast the other day, and they're like, oh, what about sacrifices and stuff like that? I'm like, why is it sacrifice? It's just a trade-off. You guys are doing a podcast on Friday. I don't know, it's 5:30 there. In a college town where you probably could be out with your boys or your girls or whatever, like in the bars hanging out. There's probably a football game tomorrow, right? Or whatever, but you're doing this because you know this moment in time or this time with in this podcast, not just with me, but just in general, is going to mean you're one step further along for whatever it is you want to do in the future, right? And so what everything is. It's just all trade-offs, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, like, you know, you didn't do all this stuff in Miami and things like that. And I'm like, yeah, and this isn't supposed to be a flex or anything like that. But I'm like, yeah, but I was 19. And when I was 19, I went to Monaco and I was at the Laureus World Sports Awards. And I was, you know, sitting across the table with Roger Federer's next door neighbor. I met Roger Federer. And I'm like there in like a black tie event in Monaco, France. Like, the like, but like, yeah. And so cool. I mean, yeah. Or we went and had we went and played poker at the casino where like Casino Royale was filmed with like that's Hope cool. Solo and Beyonce's backup dancers. Right. Like, yeah, I'm 19. Like, that's crazy. But like, again, like, yeah, I was sorry. I missed out on a couple, you know, keggers in college or whatever, you know what I mean? Again, it's still trade-offs. Right. And like, I had no idea that was what's going to happen, but because of the fact that I did those things, it's just like, these are what happens. When we first got our investment, all right, I moved to New York. Like the week I was here, not even like 2 days I was here, my investors or our main investor was like, go to LA and meet LeBron's number two and like sit down with him for a while. I was like, okay, you know, but again, like, it's just like those things where it's like, you just don't know what's going to happen, but you have to put yourself in the best position to have those things happen. Right. I think that's the other thing too, is like all the little things add up to the big things. Like, most people don't realize, but like, I think there's a saying where it's like, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready or something like that. I'm not, you know, Aristotle here or something, but like, there is something along those lines where it's just like, if you're prepared, like, you always are prepared for those moments. And I think, you know, this is like, if you're lucky, is it lucky or being good? And I think it's just a mix of both, right? It's timing, right? I met our main investor on Twitter because he happened to be on a DigiDay podcast. He happened to tweet it. I quote tweeted it. He followed me. But a week earlier, we happened to share something from the company that he was running at the time. It went viral on Twitter. I sent it to him and I said, hey, but I reached out to him. And I said, I didn't reach out to him with anything else. I just said, hey, if you have anything else that you think would perform well or whatever, let us know. And then what I did is I stayed in touch with him. Every time I saw an announcement, I said, hey, this is really cool. Congrats. Everything like that. And then one day I think a girl broke up with me. I can't remember what it was. I literally tweeted. I said, it's amazing what can happen in a year. He saw it. He DM'd it to me and he said, let me know how I can help. I told him, I said, well, this is how you can help. This is what we're doing. This is what I think we can do. And, you know, sure enough, 3.5 years later now, obviously the business is at 33 full-time people and we're continuing to grow. I don't think we both knew it at the time, but like, it's just like how weird things happen, right? Like, again, it's just like, it's just all these little things that have the big things. You guys know you're doing it now. Like, all these people you're talking to will likely be colleagues down the road or people who hire you or whatever it is. And that's all that matters, right? Like, when everyone talks about attention, right? And so it's the war of an attention. Well, it's also the war of personal attention, right? Like, I now know who you are. And I'm just using this as an example because I'm on this podcast, but I know who you are, right? Like, if you come across my desk, I have more than just like, I have to go look at your LinkedIn or something like that. Like, we had an interaction that was meaningful, that was positive. And I think people like just tend to forget about that stuff, right? And in such a virtual world, it's like, you know, it's just like something there that I think is meaningful, I guess. It was a long way around the answer of whatever question you asked.
You talked about trade-offs, and I love that because it kind of goes hand in hand for what like Sam and I are doing. Like you said, like, we could be out at a kegger right now, but like, yeah. where, like, looking back in hindsight, like, what or like what moment allowed you to flip your switch and say, all right, I want to bet on myself and make these trade-offs to make what I want possible? Like, what was that moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple moments. I think the first moment was I just started to see early traction with the business early on, and we weren't making any money for like the first 3 or 4 years. It was a complete hobby, but it was interesting. The biggest moment that I said I'm going to bet on myself is when I didn't get the job that I thought I was going to get because of all the stuff I'd done with front office sports when I was in school. Like, it was literally built. The joke is it was built for me to get a job. I've never gotten a job, so its initial purpose has actually failed, right? Like, obviously, I have a job, but it's a job that it was something that became a job, not something that got me a job. And it's just really fascinating to think about that stuff because it was, again, the fact that I didn't get a job. I interviewed for like 12 rounds. I started in April my senior year. It went to August, and I went back and I didn't get the job. I went home to Miami where I was living at the time, and I was living in the dorm, so I didn't have anywhere to live because I didn't really save any money. And I worked on the campus bar and everything like that, so I didn't have a ton of money. And I was like, I have this site thing that's something that I don't know what it is, but it's kind of something. It's made a couple bucks. And so I said, screw it. Like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to working at a restaurant. And that's what I did, is I worked at a restaurant. I didn't go home because I was like, at one time, I think I was a little too stuck up. And I was just like, I went to Miami. I can't go back home and live with my parents. Like, it's a horrible look, blah, blah, blah. So I just stayed in Miami. Luckily, the girl who I was dating at the time had a condo off campus and she was still in school. And I just crashed there for free for, you know, 4 or 5 months until I saved up enough money to get my own spot. And I was working at a restaurant serving on nights and weekends. And then I was working as a TA at the university. And luckily the TA at the university I was helping. But then again, I was working as a TA at the university. And then as a TA at the university, I met my current girlfriend who I've been dating for like 4 years now. And it's just all, again, like, it's just world works in weird ways. Like, if I wouldn't have been a TA, who knows if that would have happened, whatever. But I was a TA, and essentially being a TA, they just allowed me to work on the business while I helped them. And so that all happened. And then once we got the commitment from Anheuser-Busch, then the investment conversation happened. Then we got the investment, and then we moved here in 18, or end of 18, early 19. We hired our first full-time employee in 19. Really, this is our third full-time year. Obviously last year was kind of like a fucking wash because it's like, how do we survive and figure it out? And then, you know, all these other things. But yeah, I mean, we're now just finally hitting our stride as a business, and there's so much we have to do and so much work that needs to be done because we pivoted and shifted focus and everything like that. But we finally figured out, like, this is exactly what we want to do. These are the two brands we want to go to market with. This is what we're selling. This is how we're going to market. And now it's like, okay, we can use all of the stuff we've learned over the first 3 years of tinkering and figuring things out to say, okay, this is what we're going to do in 22 and beyond. And it's like, we know we can own front office sports. We know we can launch a membership product. We know we have awards. We know we can make money in this way. And we know we can have like a successful secondary vertical in sports section and continue to grow that. So yeah, I mean, there's a few different moments and still to this day, right? Like, it's, you just have to keep going, right? Like, you can't be complacent, especially in media, because it's just, there's an easy attention, and attention is fleeting, right? Like, if you mess up or people don't like what you're doing anymore or whatever it is like that, like, it's not providing utility or value. And that's a beautiful thing, right? We're a media company that provides utility. It's a daily newsletter that allows you to get caught up. Everything is super curated, super tight, everything like that. But like, again, we're not asking for much. We're asking for 5 minutes, 7 minutes of your day, but it should hopefully help you, whether it's in the boardroom or whether it's with your friends, with sports section, or even in the boardroom, like, if you're a more casual sports fan, right? And so, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about a moment that happened recently just online with Front Office Sports, which is when you guys posted the news about Spring Hill getting, LeBron selling a stake in Spring Hill to Nike and some of these other companies, you know, and he quote tweeted Front Office Sports, you know, article I think Maverick Carter did too and stuff. When you get some of those types of retweets and promotions through some of these major, you know, figures, what do you see engagement wise? And like, do you see like a higher rate of customer acquisition? Like, do you acquire new customers just off of one tweet? Like,
I think it's more brand recognition. I mean, you know, it's not like people are going to see the tweet and immediately sign up for the newsletter. I think it just helps, right? Like, from an overall, again, like, brand credibility, LeBron are tweeting about us. Rich Paul, it was that day. It was Rich Paul posted about us. Serena Williams posted about us. DJ Khaled posted about us. LeBron, Maverick, like all. I mean, it was crazy. But again, like we've built up the brand to a point where people like that feel like there's enough credibility in our brand to post about what we're posting about. And then we can suck, not in a bad way, but we can, you know, them posting about us is great for us, right? It's validating for us as much as us posting about them is validating for them, right? So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there's a massive uptick or anything like that, but it's just a true, more like straightforward opportunity and approach that I think will, that works for us in terms of like, again, it just all comes down to building a brand that matters, a brand that people care about, a product that's tight and good and high quality that you go and feel is premium. I think, I can't remember what Jason, our main investor, said, but it's just like, it's like, as long as you build a great product, everything else will come. The money will come, the audience will come, the advertisers will come, everything like that. So I think that's the biggest thing to continue to focus on for us as product, first and foremost.
Over the 7 years of building Front Office Sports, or 7+ years, when have you known to pivot? Like, what was the first original concept of Front Office Sports, like the core of it, when you first, you know, started building the idea out? And when you've had to pivot, has it been hard for you to let go of, you know, concepts or ideas that you were passionate about that might have failed or not worked out the way you wanted it to?
No, I mean, I think it's just an evolution. I mean, you know, again, like, yeah, they suck, but as long as you find places for people that you brought on to work on those projects and they're not like laying them off, I think you're fine, right? So, yeah, I mean, look, like we've pivoted a ton. The business originally was an informational interview platform. Then it was kind of like news. And then it was, you know, news and informational interviews. And then it was like, I don't know. It's just been so many different things because one, we didn't have any money. So we just threw whatever we could against the wall. And it's like, does this stick? Okay, this stuck. Let's do that. That didn't stick. Fuck that. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have the ability to figure things out as we go, which was great. And I always tell people, FOS as it is, wouldn't have been here in this current form if we had money before we had an audience. We built an audience and then we got money. And then that was able to, because that audience, all they did was tell us what they wanted all the time. We want this, we want that, we want this, we want that. Like, and so once we got the money from the investment, then we were like, okay, well, our audience wants this stuff, like Rising 25, Best Employers, this, that, and the other. Let's go down and double down on these things. And so that's how we were able to kind of go around those.
So I know this could be like kind of looking too far in the future, but you look at evolution and how your company can just grow. Like, do you have a vision for where this could be in 5 years, or do you just take this a 1 year, one day at a time type mentality?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do have a vision of where this can be in 5 years. Again, it can change for the most part, right? I think at the end of the day, like, we have a product that can probably have, you know, on the newsletter, free newsletter side of things, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million subscribers, like no deal, right? Like, I really do believe that, especially as the business of sports and just general sports in general is just so, it's just so intertwined, right? And emails aren't going anywhere. Our audience isn't going anywhere, right? Like, for the most part, as long as nothing changes from an algorithm standpoint, we'll be fine. But, you know, overall, I think that's the big focus for us is, it's just taking one thing at a time. Like, we're laser focused on owning the inbox when it comes to, you know, sports and sports adjacent, you know, professionals or fans or people who are interested in this space, because no one is doing that. Mm-hmm. No one is doing that. And that's our white space for, you know, at least probably another couple of years, you know, a couple, 3 years, right? And we'll, you know, continue to do anything. It's like a hub and spoke model. I always tell people, hub is the newsletter and the spoke is, you know, our original content, and then is our essentials product, and then is our awards, and then is our social channels. And it's like, you start here and then you start to build off all of these, and then those feed into there, and it's just like a, you know, back and forth type thing. So yeah, I mean, I think Sports Section will be a big publisher. I mean, I think, like, realistically on an opens basis, the way we measure our performances on a total opens or a newsletter opens, an email opens versus the page views, and I think truly on a opens basis, I checked, if you compared opens to page views, which again is not apples to oranges, but we'd be like the 15th largest publisher when it comes to sports content in the US, and like, it's pretty good. I'd take that, right? Like, but again, like that, but we believe that the opens is actually more valuable because they're opt-in users and they're people who engage with the content and they want to read it and they want to get it in their inbox, versus people who just happen to click on a story about Kyrie and, like, you know, go into it and, like, read it real quick and then are gone, right? And they're kind of more like flyby SEO traffic, or it's truly opt-in traffic. And so I think that's the big thing for us.
We're getting to, like, the real like nitty gritty of like the sports year. I mean, a lot of sports are going on right now. We've been talking a lot at length about sports business side, but for your own personal desire, like who do you like to watch in any of the sports leagues? And like, what sports do you like to follow the closely the most?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's so funny because I'm not like the biggest sports fan per se. Like, I mean, I love sports and I played sports growing up and all this stuff, but I'm not like the biggest sports fan. And I mean, I'm a big hockey fan, but I like the Coyotes and they suck, which is fine because I have this prediction that it's like years 2025. They have a new arena in Tempe. Auston Matthews is back on the team. They raise the Stanley Cup at home. Like, this is all going to happen. Like, all the draft picks that they're picking from, they're going to get Shane Wright, number one overall this year. And they're like building for that. I'm telling you, they're building for that year to bring Auston Matthews back. He's going to win a Stanley Cup 2025. We're going to have the new arena. It's going to happen. That's my hope. Until then, well, you know, hopefully they just continue to stockpile draft picks. But anyways, so yeah, big Coyotes fan. I like college football on Saturday. It's just something about college football. I'm not a big NFL guy. Like, I'll watch it every once in a while, but I'm not like a super like, oh, I love the Cardinals or something like that, even though they're good this year. It's just like all the sports teams when I was growing up outside the Diamondbacks, because I was like, you know, seven when they won the World Series in 01. Like, outside the Diamondbacks, like, no one was great. Like, the Cardinals were average, and besides 08 when they went to the Super Bowl and lost, the Suns, you know, were average for the most part. You know, I think it was 11 or 12 they went to the Western Conference Finals last time. Obviously, they're good now. Coyotes, again, very average, but we were season ticket holders and I just grew an affinity to the team. But they went to the Western Conference Finals, I think, in 2013 or whatever it was. And so there's been spits and spurts of it, but I'm also around it all the time. And I also just don't even have time, right? Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I get home around 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm in bed usually by 10 o'clock because I'm working out in the mornings. And I'm just like, whatever. I'll see it. You know, everyone's like, well, how do you get your sports news? And I'm like, for Office Sports and Sports Section. That's how I get my sports news. But it's true. Like, that's me. Like, we are the people and I am the person that we're building this product for, in a sense of like, busy business professional who loves business, who loves sports, who just loves sports. And we're building products for them to like get their daily dose of it, to where I don't have to go to ESPN.com. And I always tell people, inbox is a new homepage. And I ask them, I didn't even ask you, when was the last time you went to ESPN.com? I don't know, probably like 10 days ago or 15 days ago. You can't even name a time. And then I'm like, okay, when was the last time you opened your inbox? Oh, an hour ago, 2 hours ago. How many times have you opened it today? 15, 20 times, right? It's 40 times, right? Oh, all of a sudden now is like, this is where it's all at. And so that's, again, kind of the approach there.
Yeah, so I have two final questions for you, and
cool,
thank you again for coming on the podcast. We really
appreciate of course it.
But my first question for you is, how do you prevent burnout? Jack and I, like you kind of talked about, like the trade-offs, like, you know, we work pretty hard on the podcast and everything we're doing outside of school, just, you know, building our resumes and all that type of stuff, that, you know, there are those times where we get a couple weeks in doing 3-4 pods a week at certain times and we get that burnout, we hit that wall. So for you, as somebody who's building a business, you're super passionate about it and you always have to kind of be on, how do you turn off? And then my other question for you is, what would like your advice or recommendation be for like young creators, like content creators and young brand builders and stuff like that?
Yeah. So the burnout stuff, I'm horrible with it. I'll be honest with you. I picked up like hiking over the summer, which was nice. Like every Saturday I try and go hike. I mean, but again, like for the first 6 years or five, six years of the business, it's always on 7 days a week, right? Like you just have to be if you want to really build it. And we didn't have money. It's not like I worked, you know, 5-6 years in corporate America. I do not know anything corporate America. Obviously, I know other things in corporate America, but I don't know anything outside of front office sports. I've never worked in any other real job after I graduated. I had internships when I graduated, or internships before I graduated, everything like that, but I never had a paying job outside of front office sports, like that's, or FOS, like that's all I've ever had. So I think the big thing is passionate about it, right? Like I love getting up and doing what we do every single day, you know, the team. And everyone's like, well, how do you like manage that? And I'm like, well, the other thing now is that I have 33 going on probably 40, 50 people by the middle of next year and the next year who like their job, their livelihood, their insurance payments, their car payments, their kids' payments are basically based on what I'm doing. Like obviously what we're doing as a team, but like the decisions that I'm making and the making sure that we're in a good spot and we're going out and doing these things. And it's like everyone's like, well, why don't you drink? And I'm like, I have 35 kids, right? And not that they're kids, like they're obviously adults and stuff like that, but like I have 35 people or 33 people right now that depend on the fact that I don't wake up hungover every morning or something like that. And you know, some people can do that. Like some executives can do that. I just cannot. And I would like feel like vehemently upset at myself if for some reason I would show up to work like not cognizant and not clear in the mind to be able to deliver that stuff. So I think that helps a lot. You know, I've tried to get better. You know, Saturdays I try to take as much as time off, but I'm always on and around and thinking about the business and things like that, like pick up running and some of these other things. And I've gotten back into working out in the mornings, which I think is really good. Takes just some of the, not the stress off, the edge off. But at the end of the day, like that's the other thing I always tell myself. And that's why it's great to do this stuff now, is leverage the heck out of the time you're in college. One, because everyone wants to help a college student. That's what I always tell people, is like, everyone wants to help a college student. That's all I did when I was like, doing informational interviews. Hey, I'm a college student at Miami and I want to, you know, tell your story, right? Or whatever it is. Oh yeah, sure. I'd love to talk about myself. Of course, everyone wants to talk about themselves. And so that was the big thing. And again, it was just like, I don't know, you hit your wall every once in a while, but then you're like, well, what's on the other side of that wall? And what's on the other side of that? And the other side of that, and the other side of that. So, you know, all these different opportunities going from there to now, it's just like, I don't know. I think there's a really big opportunity for us long term, and something that I'm excited about. So as for advice, I think it's the biggest thing when it comes to job seeking and things like that, is like, don't tell people why you need a job. Tell people why they should hire you. Don't ask for a job. Tell people why they should hire you. That's my biggest thing, is like, if our social media sucks, tell me it sucks and tell me how you can fix it. I'd be much more willing to look and see how I can hire, because at the end of the day, like, you know, everyone is looking for people to solve a problem for them or help them or this, that, and the other, right? So again, like those are my things that I think about with all these people, is like, just really, really focus on like bringing value, you know, going when you go to a job, like show up on time, do the work, don't cause problems. Like if you don't like where you work, leave, don't like hold animosity. Or like, there's so many things. Like if you can do it, like if you like where you work, double down on that. Make sure you like are giving it what you need to succeed and achieve your goals. If you don't like where you work, it's never been a better time to leave, right? For some reason, right? And that's fine. Like, as long as it's amicable and you're professional about it, I think most people are good, because at the end of the day, most people want people who want to be at their job or their business, right? Because no one wants negative Nancy's or, oh, I hate this place or this, that, and the other. I'm just here to, you know, it's like, especially in startups, this is not going to work, right? At big companies where people can hide in like middle manager roles and stuff like that and hate their job, but get a nice paycheck for it, then that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I think those are the biggest things. And from a content creator standpoint, just finding something that's unique, finding an angle that's unique, finding a platform that's unique, right? Like, you know, we're not big on TikTok. Is there an opportunity for a business of sports person on TikTok? I have no idea, right? Like, I don't think it's a platform for it. It's definitely not for us. We're focused on Twitter and LinkedIn. But if I'm looking at surveying the market and I'm like, well, those guys are focused on Twitter and LinkedIn, they're not focused on these other platforms, maybe there's an opportunity for me on Snap or whatever. You know what I mean? Like all these different opportunities. So yeah, just going again, like surveying the landscape, seeing the white space and being best in class in that white space will open up as many opportunities for you as you can, think.
Yeah. And then I have one final one, because off of that and then Jack can go. But how do you build your team? Like, what do you look for when you're hiring employees or adding people to, you know, your team? How have you kind of crafted that? And I'm just kind of curious what you've kind of looked for, skills, personality traits. I'm just kind of interested in how you've kind of
People just aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. People understand that it's going to be a grind every once in a while. People are, you know, we're passionate about things. We're willing to, you don't have to be, you know, perfect. You know, you don't have to have like perfect pedigree, but if I always say like, you know, is the person good or was the brand they're working at good, right? There's a big difference between someone who's good everywhere they go versus people who are only good because of the name on the door of the brand, right? Like anyone can sell ESPN, but are you actually a good seller at ESPN? Like I can go to any agency. I'm going to ESPN. Oh yeah. We know ESPN, right? Like there's a huge difference in all of that. So I think those are the biggest things we look for, is, you know, people who are just resilient, people who can manage multiple tasks, people who can wear different hats, people who want to exceed in a fast paced environment, you know, people who are able to kind of just like think ahead and be solutions oriented. And again, you just have to be in all of those things in small organizations.
So So I have one final question, and this is probably going to be the easiest one. Halloween weekend, what's your costume?
This weekend, I am actually going to be, I am Zac Efron from Greatest Showman, and my girlfriend Zendaya. So it's going to be like a funny, like, I'm just not a big, like,
costume was this guy. Your idea?
I assume? It was my idea. Yeah. It was my idea because I'm just not a big costume guy. And I was like, oh, that's easy. I'll put on a white shirt, slacks, with a bow tie around, and you don't have to wear anything too crazy either. And it's fucking cold too. Like, that's the other thing. Like, oh, I don't know. It's not like it's like Arizona where it's, you know, it's warm and things like that. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Adam, we can't thank you enough for coming on. Like always, guys, not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later.